Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" He answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Here ends the text. If you knew nothing about Christianity and read that text, wouldn't you naturally think that there are three steps to becoming a Christian? Really, aren't those three steps as plain as the nose on your face? Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must. Only the first step is translated in the imperative as a command, as something that must happen. But all three verbs are imperative. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, he must take up his cross, and he must follow me. What could be clearer? The sermon title is How to Become a Christian in Three Steps. And the parts laid out before you like well-honed bullet points. Deny self, take up your cross, follow Jesus. Step one, you must deny yourself. No more of this me time. No more I want to do something for me for a change. No more self-esteem, self-improvement, self-centeredness. It's looking at a picture and not knowing yourself. I did that once. My father took a picture of me 14 years ago when I didn't know it. Later, he sent me a bunch of pictures. For 2 or 3 years, I couldn't figure out who that was in this picture. The guy in that picture was too old and too fat to be me. Denying self is looking in the mirror and saying, "I don't know you." It's more than that. It's waking up without the word "I" in your vocabulary. Step two, you must take up your cross. Your cross is whatever kills you, for that's what the cross meant in Jesus' day. In our day, the cross is whatever pains you. Jesus' hearers only knew the cross did one thing. It killed you, slowly, torturously, and surely. It didn't kill someone else. It killed you. I can tell you for sure what the cross is in your life. It's whatever you don't want to bear because you know it will end up killing me, myself, and I. If you wish to be a disciple of Jesus, that's what you must take up. That's what you can't refuse to take up. The third step in our three-step program is you must follow Jesus. Piece of cake, right? Wasn't for Peter in the text. He choked at the thought of following a self-denying, cross-bearing Jesus. Following Jesus wasn't easy for the disciples in John 6, who turned back from following a Jesus who gave his body for bread and his blood for wine. Following isn't easy for scientists who turn away from following a God who created all things in 6 days. Following isn't easy for couples who turn away from a Jesus who says they cannot live together before marriage. Following isn't easy for women who turn away from a Jesus who won't let them be pastors. Following is no piece of cake for men it's no piece of cake to follow the Jesus who holds them responsible for home, school, for home, church, and state. Well, it might have been hard for all those people to follow Jesus, but I think I got it. Really, the more Christianity is presented, preached, taught as a three-step process, the more it seems doable. To be a Christian, I just must do three things. Deny self, take up cross, follow Christ. Go to any Christian bookstore. Go to search Christian books online, and you will find countless books on one or more aspects of these three steps. There will be biblical tips for self-denial. There'll be learn how come you need a cross. There'll be see how Jesus is leading you even when it hurts. Some of you are getting drawn in. A three-step process is attractive. It's measurable. It's practical. And it seems textual. Jesus plainly says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, how are you doing? If you're a regular attendee of church, you already knew these three steps before you sat down. When I read the text, it didn't surprise you to hear that Jesus demanded self-denial, cross-bearing, and following him. So, how are you doing with the steps? I know how I'm doing. I'm doing what Peter did. I'm rebuking the Jesus I say I am following. Don't tell me to deny myself. It's my turn. I don't want that cross. It's too heavy. It's too long. It's too sharp. It's too boring. I don't want to stay here. I want to go here, there, and everywhere. When the text says Peter took Jesus aside, it's describing a tender, warm gesture. And that's how I rebuke Jesus. Nicely. I don't shout at him. I don't stop hearing his word. I don't stop going to him in prayer. I just maintain I'm right. My view of things is better than his view. My opinion of what he says matters more than what he actually says. Yes, I am polite in my rebuking of my God and Savior, but he's not of me, nor should he be. He's God. I'm not. He's creator. I'm creature. When he rebukes me, he lays bare just how bad I'm doing at following the three steps. Satan himself couldn't do worse. In fact, I'm not Satan-like in my working the steps. I am Satan. And the one who is love incarnate wants nothing to do with me. Get behind me, he says. How come I'm working the steps? I'm trying my best. But my plight, refusals, corrections, and striking out my own direction are minding the things of men, not God. When I take man's word about anything over God's word, I'm minding the things of men, not God. When I strain and kick against the people and situation God had put in my life, I'm minding the things of God, not I'm minding the things of men, not God. When I think God can only do what my puny mind thinks, I'm minding the things of men, not God. At the end of the day, you know what it comes down to for me? Three-step Christianity is about the self dying. First by inattention, second by cross, third by not going where it wants. And at the end of each day, I want to save my life, not lose it. I'm like the little kid who's been told to share with his brother, and he thinks he's being sly when he keeps just a little bit more for himself. I constantly do that. I can't be all in this Christianity thing. Oh, I admit I need to be better, different, but some of my soul, some of my life, some of myself is worth saving. Must be saved. It is frightening beyond all measure to hear Paul say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Here's where I go wrong. My sinful flesh hears God say, you must, and I wrongly, pridefully, even insolently conclude, therefore, I can. But imperatives never imply or impart power to the one commanded. We know that in everyday things. We know I can command you to bench press 500 pounds till the cows come home, and that doesn't mean you're able to do it. But with the things of God, because we are fallen, proud souls, we think we can. So it's back to the drawing board. This text is not about what I can do, but what I can't do. It's about Jesus, not me. This text is about Jesus teaching his disciples plainly who he is. Matthew's record of this is helpful. Jesus asks, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" And Peter responds, "You are the Son of God." Boom! There it is. This man standing before them, born of a woman named Mary, is also the Son of the living God. God was before them in flesh and blood. The God who made heaven and earth was standing on the earth with them. They were looking at the God who no man could look at and live. The God who was in a consuming fire was right next to them, and they weren't getting burned. As for us, baptismal water should do to us what the holy water does to vampires. God's holy word should strike our unholy ears stone deaf. Eating his holy body and drinking his holy blood should cause us weakness, sickness, and death, but that's not what happens. The God who wraps himself in frightening thunderstorms and heaving seas is in that baptismal font, and no one but the old Adam gets drowned. The God whose voice is as loud as a thundering surf speaks to you in absolution, and rather than deafening you for life, forgives your sins for life. The God who is a consuming fire and who dwells in light unapproachable comes to this altar, and we are invited to approach and consume him for our highest good. How can this be? I have denied myself only to accept myself in the very next breath. I have taken up my cross only to throw it, yes, throw it back down. I have followed Jesus for a step, maybe two, then I went back to wandering. The same was true of all the disciples, not just Peter. Yet God in flesh and blood does not deny them, does not crucify them, but himself, and follows the path that leads to his judgment, but our redemption. What gives? Jesus does. He who is God in flesh and blood, this man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, is going to suffer many things, be rejected by the Old Testament church, and be put to death by the state. Now wait a minute. That's what I deserve. I should suffer countless things for loving self rather than denying self, for rejecting the cross, not taking it up, for following self rather than my God and Savior. And shouldn't the church reject me? Jesus was the perfect son of not only man and God, but of the church. I'm not. If the church could zap me every time my mind wandered or I had a sinful thought in church, I'd be fried before the sermon. Likewise, the state, though ours is a fallen and morally bankrupt state as Rome was, they would have a right to put me to death if murderous thoughts were punished. Jesus, on the other hand, was the perfect citizen. He didn't deserve to be crucified. I did, you did, we did, but he was. Yes, Jesus suffered many things, was rejected by the church and put to death by the state. And oh yeah, on the third day, he rose. Don't let that out of your sight, as Peter and the disciples did. As Paul puts it, Jesus was delivered to death for our sins and was raised for our justification, for putting us right before God. See, we got the three steps on the wrong end of Christianity. It's not three steps to becoming a Christian. It's three steps from becoming a Christian. Put the three steps before you've been raised from the death of sin and self-centeredness, and you step farther away from your salvation. Put them after you've been raised by Jesus, free of sin, death, and the devil, and wonder of wonders, they are three steps towards really living. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.